We'll read from Isaiah 40, verse 1 to 5. From Isaiah 40, verse 1 to 5. It's in page 762 in English Standard Version. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her welfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And this is also the same text for us this morning. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, it is promise of comfort. God promised His people to comfort them. And the start, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her welfare is ended. Chapter 39 of Isaiah close on a negative note. For the people of Judah, there was something of revival under King Hezekiah, who trusted God to save Jerusalem from Assyria. But Judah would not escape its brother Israel's fate. Judah was rotten to the core, and Babylon would carry the people into exile, just as Assyrian had captured the Israelites. In the midst of all the thing, the voice comes from the Lord, comfort, comfort my people. Judah's sin in that time increased, especially in the era of Manasseh, who did all kind of evil. And we can read that in the 2 Kings chapter 21 from 1 to 9. Verse 1 said, Manasseh did what was evil in the sight of the Lord according to the despicable practices of the nations, whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. Manasseh was worse than those people that the Lord rejected them, that the Lord kicked them out from the way of Israel. Manasseh, if we read 2 Kings 21, we see there is no kind of evil or sin he didn't do. And verse 9 said, Manasseh led them astray to do more evil than the nations had done, whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. He knew the history, and he knew how God destroyed those people. But he did evil more than them, and led his people to be away from God. Isaiah's words to Hezekiah were finally fulfilled about 586 BC, when Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon conquered Jerusalem and took King Zedekiah and the people of Judah into exile. And we can see that if you would like to read, it's 2 Kings 25 from verse 1 to 21. When this happened, people of Judah felt that God left them. And we also, most of the time when we do evil, and we all sometimes we blame God and we see that God left us. In a sense, the answer was yes. The Lord did indeed leave his earthly temple at that time. However, the faithful remnant of Israel and Judah knew God had promised Moses that he would never utterly abandon his people. He will not leave or forsake his people. He promised them that he will be with them. He will restore them when they repent. Okay. Anyway, this is what happened. This is what happened when people really disobeyed God. We too sometimes we do sin. And sometimes we feel that God left us or forsake us. And sometimes we blame God. But the good thing is, when we see that, we have to look at ourselves. We have to see that God always faithful to his promises. And then we have to repent. We have to come to God and repent. Here we see that God comforts his people. But what is the word that comforts his people here? What is the word that God comforts his people with? Verse 1 and 2. God declares his grace and forgiveness. God declares his love to his people. Even in the midst of their sin, God declares this grace and forgiveness to his people. The word that comforts the people when he says, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended." Speak tenderly, it means speak to the heart of Jerusalem. He didn't say, "Oh, you are sinners. It's too late now. I have to punish you." But God always show us the way for return back and come to him. God always show us to come to him and confess our sin. God didn't say, "Okay, because you sin, I rejected you forever. I leave you. I forsake you." He has the right to do that. And we deserve the penalty. We deserve the death. But he didn't do that. He always deal with us with his grace. That's why David in Psalm 51, he came to the Lord not based on what he has done good, but based on the mercy of God. He came to the Lord to seek mercy of God, not to justify himself. And we can see that very clear in the two people that went to the temple, the Pharisees and the tax collectors. The Pharisees, he started to speak about what good he has done. But the sinner, the tax collectors, he feels shame. And he asked mercy from God. And this is what we have to do. Speak tenderly. God, even in midst of our sin, he didn't make us to die, but he showed us the way of return back to him. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. He tells the leaders and the prophet to don't speak here in this time in condemnation, but to speak to the people, to show them the way of repentance, the way to turn back. The very important thing for Judah in that time, the very important thing to comfort Judah is that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. Her warfare is ended, her iniquity is pardoned. What does mean here, the warfare is ended? The warfare here, it's come from sometimes military expression. I know sometimes military in some countries is good thing to go or good thing to serve in military. And for Canada, it's option to go or not to go. I believe it's, maybe I'm wrong, but this is what I know. But in Egypt, they force us to go for service. And to serve in military there, to be like a slave. And here's the prophet used this word. It means the slave, your slave is ended. Your time in exile, you are a slave to Babylon people, is ended. Your service is ended. Now all the things that make you in trouble is ended. What a comfort when we hear today there is no coronavirus at all. Everyone free. Free to worship inside, free to worship outside, free to go anywhere. It will be a comfort. But the comfort for us in this time, that we have our God who trusts. He is in control. The God who trusts, He is in control. The word comfort itself, the word comfort, it's a Hebrew word, it means take deep breath. When you work hard and you finish your work, you take deep breath, the breath of rest. Have rest. And this is also referred to what God has done. After He created the creation, He had rest. God wasn't tired, but had rest there in the Hebrew. It means God looked at what He has done and He saw everything He has done was good. And God talked to Judah, talked to the sinner. If we come to the Lord and confess our sin and seek repentance, this is the comfort. Her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Actually, the iniquity is pardoned doesn't mean there is no punishment for sin. There is a punishment. That's why Judah went to exile. But the punishment from the father is like the father who disciplines his children. And the goal of discipline, to correct people, not to destroy people. Even the discipline in a church, to bring people back to the church, to the fellowship with the Lord, not to kick them out. Yes, we pay the price. We suffer from our sins. When we have wrong, when we go to the wrong direction, we suffer. But God showed the way to come back. That your iniquity is pardoned. It doesn't mean there is no price paid for that. Because He said that she has because that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sin. The iniquity is pardoned because God, He, with His grace, forgive His people's sin. After time of punishment, He shows the love of the Father. Then verse 1 and 2 declare the heart of the Father, the love of the Father, the grace to the people of the covenant. That she has received from the Lord's hand double of all her sins. Actually, people think that God punished them twice or reward them twice. And this doesn't go with the character of God or even with the text. Because what kind of sin doesn't deserve death? The Bible says the wage of sin is death. If we do sin, we deserve death. When Adam did sin, he deserved death. But here's the grace of God. With His grace, He promised Adam to pay the price instead of him. And here we can see that too. That our sin is pardoned, propitiated, because Jesus paid for this sin on the cross. In the Old Testament, all the people's sin pardoned because the blood of Jesus Christ, because God promised them with the Messiah who will come and die for them. And for us, we know that He came and died on the cross for us. That's why our sin is pardoned. He paid the price of sin with His precious blood. With His precious blood. One other thing to make us comfort. That we are not only not rejected by God, but we are not disowned. We belong to Him. We belong to God. We belong to our Father. And this is really go with the first lesson in the Catechism. What is your comfort in life and death? It says, I am not belonging to myself. I'm just translated from Arabic, and if it's not exactly that it says in English version, pardon me, forgive me, I'm talking about forgiveness today. Then it says, I am not belong to myself, but belong to my Father. Belong to God, to my God. And why I'm belonging to God? Because Jesus Christ paid for all my sin. And also in the same question, speak about how the Father cared for His children. Even the hair of my head, I can't lose without His permission. And everything works for good for us. When we look at God, some religions, some people look at God that He is far, too far away. And He's looking for people to see their sin, to punish them. And another religion, their God is make a trap for people to do sin. He leads them to sin to punish them. It means like this God, He tried to find reason to punish people. Our God, He always provide us forgiveness by His grace. What a difference. And what a comfort. And we can see here when it says like that she has received from the Lord's hand double of her sins. It doesn't mean that God really punished them twice. Because I said, every sin, the punishment according to the Bible is this. But the meaning here in the Hebrew, the word double, it's not mathematic operation. It doesn't mean 2 by 2 equal 4. It means when you fold something, the wind is really hard. When you fold something like that, it has to match. This side has to cover that side. And this is what it means, receive double. It means received enough penalty and punishment to cover the sin. and Jesus who paid for that. It means the just has met, got satisfied with what Jesus has done, had done in the cross. This is what it means, double for her sin, to receive double for her sin. And this is a verse 1 and 2. The verse 1 and 2 speak about God declares His love, grace, and forgiveness. Verse 3 to 4, how we respond to His grace. How do we respond to His love? How do we respond as the children of God to our Father? It says here, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Here doesn't speak physically to make way. He doesn't take about, you know, take your shovel and try to fill the ditch or something like that to make the uneven road even road. Or to level this road, it's from the mountain to valley. It doesn't talk about that. Because he talks to the people that they don't own the land. Because they were in the foreign land, they were a slave to this land. For that, they can't fix the road that they don't own, or the land they don't own. But prepare the way here, it means to repent. To repent. It doesn't mean at all to do anything, just to repent. And John the Baptist also quoted that when asked the people to come to repent. And he told them to come and repent. And when they asked him what we can do to repent, he told them, stop cheating, stop deceive, be content, be merciful. Don't look at yourself, don't be in the center of yourself, don't be selfish. We live in the world now, they put the man in the center, or they put the mankind in the center. It means everything to serve the mankind. But actually, even if we see that, we see only in the Bible, God look after the man better than anything else. Because those people who talk a lot about serving the mankind, actually they abuse the mankind, they use the mankind. Their mankind for them is like a business. And we have a really good picture of that in the Bible. If you remember when Jesus went to some village and there was a crazy man, the man with the legion, the man he has many demons. And when Jesus kicked out the demons from him, and he commanded the demons to go in pigs, what happened? The people came and they were angry because they lost their business. Then the business more important than the mankind and those people's eyes. If you want to see who appreciates the man, respect the man, look after the mankind, only God. Because even when He created us, before He created us, He created everything that we need, or more than what we need. God uses His authority to serve His people, for the people goodness. But any people take in theory about serving people, actually they do business to the mankind. Then if we like to respect the mankind, we have to come back to God and walk in His word and repent for everything we have done in our lives. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. Here speak about the obstacles, the difficulties that try to prevent the people of God from coming back. Here he speaks about there is nothing can prevent God from saving us. If we go to the book of Exodus, and how Pharaoh has a hardened heart, and he tried to hold the people of God from deliverance. Did Pharaoh succeed? Did Pharaoh accomplish what he tried to do? Did Pharaoh prevent the people of God from deliverance to go out? No. Actually, Pharaoh destroyed because his stubbornness, his rebellions, his hardened heart. Nothing at all can prevent God from saving his people. Even our unfaithfulness doesn't make him unfaithful. Even if we are not faithful, he's faithful to bring us back, to return us to his way. Here every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. It means there is nothing impossible before God. And again, we serve the God that there is nothing impossible for him. We serve the God and worship the God who in control and he has the final word. It's God like the God who make everybody do whatever he likes, but he turn everything in his own will. Remember Joseph, his brother. His brother think that they do things against God's will. Because they tried to destroy Joseph. They tried to kill him. They sold him. They didn't like him to be a leader. But God used all of that to accomplish his will. There is nothing impossible. Whatever obstacles, whatever difficult way, God is faithful. And he always calls us to come back to him. It's like the prodigal son in the book of Luke. The father was looking for the son to come back. Even the son rebelled, disobeyed him. Even he did all evil. But God was looking for him to come back and restore the first fellowship with him. And this is what Jesus has done for us. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's here to speak about God, the author of our salvation. You know, I studied Islam. And the God of Islam always reacts. It means when the people do things, he reacts. He doesn't take the lead. But our God is opposite. He doesn't react. He talks the lead. Because he has authority. Because he is not a God that the people made, but God who made everything. This is the God that we serve. And here see that everybody see the glory of God. That he is the one who saved his people. Doesn't matter what authority is against us. Babylon, Pharaoh, any kind of kingdom against us. It can't stand against the church of God. It's not because the church is strong in itself. Because the leader of the church, because the God of the church, I mean the leader here mean God, the God of the church, he is the one who has the all authority and in control. And God showed the people his glory.
that He is the one who saved His people. And the salvation here is not the action of His people, but it's action of God. When Adam did sin, Adam hid himself. But God found him. That's why the church's responsibility to not wait in the church for the lost to come, but the church has to go and seek the lost. And I believe you do that with different ways. And pray that you do more also to seek for lost, your neighbor and other people around you. Here reveals the glory of God, that He is the author of our salvation. He is the one who started. He is the one who promised the salvation. And every nation will see that. Even the nation that see, where is your God? Several times David spoke about that. Where is your God? How God can save you? But here God showed the people, every nation, that God saves His people. God who saves His people. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. There is no nation will not recognize the Lord. If we go to the Old Testament and see, for example, Rahab. She heard about the Lord of Israel, the God of Israel. And the people been defeated because they know the power of God of Israel. And I believe if we trust God, we have Almighty God. We profess it with our tongues. But sometimes we have some doubt in our hearts when we put it in practice. It's very good to read the Bible, understand the Bible, explain the Bible, meditate in the Bible, but it's good also to understand this Bible is not just a theory. It's a life. It's a practical. What God said in His Bible, He accomplished. And we have this whole history. How God led His people. How God saves His people. How the people show the glory of God. And all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If the Lord tell you something, do you believe it? If you believe it, do you practice it? Do you do it? If He said, I am with you, will you be in fear to do things that He told you to do? All of us human beings, we have weakness. Moses tried to save his people with his hand. And he found he is too weak to do this. And it led to wilderness. And when God trained him, and He sent him, He said, I can't. Because He compared between the power of Pharaoh and His power. And this is wrong. When we face anything, we don't have to compare our strengths with other strengths. We have to compare the power of God with whatever things against us. And remember, if God is with us, who can be against us? What a comfort. Our sin has been pardoned, forgiven, because what Jesus had done in the cross. We have to respond by preparing the way, by repent for our sins. Are we humble enough? Because repentance needs to be humble, to confess our sin. If you deal in business or anything in the world, and you talk with somebody, the first thing he does, he tries to justify what he's doing. He does not come directly to confess. One time, I was someplace and the person said sorry. I said, oh, nothing to be sorry about it. He said, oh, it's just tongue saying, I'm just saying that all the time. It's as Christian people, when we say sorry for the sin that we do, it means we confess that we do sin. And we come to the Lord to ask Him for forgiveness. and repent. If we come with pride, if we come with the attitude that we don't need salvation, if we come with the attitude that we are better than anybody else, I believe we have to rethink about that. Because we have to come with contrite heart. We have to come with humble, to be humble before God and seek His mercy and forgiveness for what we have done. And what we do, because we continue sin. And ask Him to help us to walk in His word, according to His word, and walk in His way. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, because Your grace and mercy revealed in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Thank You, Lord, because You deal with us as a Father who loved us. And even when You discipline us, You like to bring us back to You, to have the relationship with You. Lord, give us this attitude to repent, to prepare the way with repentance for anything we do wrong in our life. And ask the help of Your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in Your way. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing.